In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's bring Hammer in here. Ham, what you think about that? Victor Wembanyama better than Anthony Davis right now today?
Oh, man, that's tough. I mean, midway through the season, probably. The end of the season, yeah. But today, I don't know.
What does AD do better than Wemby today?
He's a better shooter. He's a stronger defender. Better defender, but more versatile because he can handle different types of players. I think, again, probably a better rebounder right now, where Wembanyama is rebounding on just sheer length and athleticism. These are all things that I think Wembanyama will well surpass Anthony Davis in, but I don't want to just write Anthony Davis off right now.
Wemby is lower with field goal percentage, 46.5% from the field. AD, 55.6% from the field. But an ice cold 27% from beyond the arc, where Wemby is, I'm having the same hoop hype issue, 32% from beyond the arc.
Yeah, I mean, look, Victor Wembanyama is going to be a revolutionary player. He's going to be something that changes the game completely. But for right now, he still takes a lot of bad shots. He still needs to get stronger, and there are some things that he needs to work on as a player, and he will. I mean, he'll get there. But Anthony Davis, while he gets destroyed by Sabonis every time he sees him, he's still a first ballot Hall of Famer, and his injuries notwithstanding, I mean, he's still a great player and an all NBA player. And I don't want to take away from what Anthony Davis does. It's just the Victor Wembanyama train is coming, and it's just a matter of when it gets there and how long he's able to be at the top of his game and all that stuff. But I mean, I think he'll revolutionize the game.
And we're not saying Korkmaz is better than Anthony Davis. We're saying Victor Wembanyama is better
shot
than
at Korkmaz. He ain't bothering nobody.
He's just sitting there doing nothing. And
you know who a comparable player is in this conversation? If you go back to when he was 20, it's Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis's second year in New Orleans is 20-10. Mm. His third year, when he was 21, it's 24-10. Mm. I mean, he's Anthony Davis is probably the most comparable player to Victor Wembanyama. Anthony Davis had a lot of hype coming in. Right. Does he hit another gear that Anthony Davis
and everybody in
guess never really hit?
Everybody in the chat talking about AD will put up 40-20 on the Spurs and 30-. First of all, do I have to say the uncomfortable thing out loud? I don't even know if the guy would play. Let's settle down.
He played 36 to 40 times. Stop it. He played 76 times last year. Show that man some respect.
Good job. Wemby played 71.
Over or under 76?
Under.
Games. Really?
Yeah. Not a lot. Probably. Not a
probably.
Lot.
70 plus. 70 plus?
I say he's going to be eligible. James says he'll be eligible for awards.
I forgot that number.
68 or something like that.
It's a 68.
65 is the number, but I'm saying he'll be at 68 or something.
Okay. I'm with it.
I don't know. I could see AD not being eligible. This season for the Lakers, if something happens to LeBron or even for AD for any extended period of time, this is a really high lottery team. Like, that's not a well put together team at all. It's the same team they put together last year that wasn't very good. And then the only two players that really matter at all just got a year older, and a year older where one of them is going to be, what, 32, and one of them is going to be 39 going on 40. So that's, for me, if something happens to LeBron, if LeBron has an injury that takes him down for a couple of weeks, I don't think AD will get there either. And I don't think that that team will be good at all.
TCG,
just my opinion.
TCG asked a great question, great way to put it. We're just talking about this year, not the future, nothing like that. He said, so if Ham could have either player for 1 year this year, would you take AD over Wemby? I'm taking Wemby.
One year.
I think I'd do it too. This year, I'm taking Wemby over AD.
I think I would too.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think the one thing you're going to bring up about Wembanyama is chances are, well, there's a good chance, he hasn't shown otherwise, that he'll play a huge amount of games. So, yeah, that's going to sway me a little bit. But at the same time, if it, let me turn the question around. If I have a playoff, if I'm looking at the playoffs and I'm starting the playoffs in round one and I have to choose between the two players, I'm taking AD.
Follow-up question. Is the series against Sacramento? Because if it does, that's got to influence your decision.
No, no, that's true. That's true. I mean, you're talking about one player against one player that for whatever reason hasn't worked out. And you know, it's kind of like how the Kings lost. They went 0-6 to the Pelicans last year. That doesn't make any sense. The Pelicans aren't a significantly or even a better team than the Sacramento Kings, in my opinion. But you split that series, you go 3-3, and the Kings win 48-49 games, you know, and because one of the games is a play-in, I'm not going to count it as, you know, a 49-win season. Straight up, but like there's one team that the Kings couldn't beat, and it's that team. And so, like, yeah, AD has trouble with Sabonis. There are other players that have a lot of trouble with Sabonis as well.
Yeah.
And then there are a handful of players that Sabonis has a ton of trouble with. Yeah. So, we saw it with Kevon Looney.
Well, look, anyway, in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House, LA Dave.
LA Dave.
Shout out to him because the Laker hate is too obvious. I hope it is. Yes, we hate the Lakers. What are you talking about? This is Sacramento. This ain't ESPN 17 LA. This is ESPN 1320 in Sacramento. Yes, I hope the Laker hate is obvious. I hope it is. We don't like them. What are you talking about?
Shout out.
The hell are you talking about?
Kenny just dabs on Lakers. Give it to him, Kenny.
The Laker hate is too obvious. What the hell do you think you're listening to?
I don't know if it's Laker.
It's Casey in LA. Like,
well,
Laker reality. I mean, like, look, this is a team that wasn't very good last year, and they didn't do anything except for fire a coach, and again, and replace him with a guy who has only coached at the fourth grade level. So, I mean, that's that.
Come on.
Oh.
Now, when I was watching that game last night, I did see old Darvin on the sidelines with that stupid look on his face as the Kings went on a 21-2 run. I said, oh, man, Darvin.
Time out over there, coach? No? All right. Play through it, pal. Sounds good. Sounds wow. good. James, you've been covering this team a long time. How great was it to see DeMar DeRozan on a variety of national media outlets promoting his book over the last couple of days, talking about the winning culture that the Sacramento Kings are building?
I mean,
takes some getting used to, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. I mean, when, Caron Butler was here, I think he released, his book, Tough Juice, right? So we had that like during his time. Yeah, I think it's great that during the offseason you have a player who's written a book and who doesn't mind talking, standing up and talking about a lot of different issues and all that. But like, look, I want to see him in Sacramento. I want to see him in a Kings jersey. I want to see what the outcome of the first 40 something games are. And then I want to see what this season looks like at the end before I like anoint, you know, DeMar DeRozan as like the next coming of something here in Sacramento. I still, you know, he's a great player, and I think he fits in perfectly, and I'm excited to see what it looks like. But yeah, I guess the publicity, the positive publicity is amazing. But again, like, this is a player who has not put on a Kings jersey and played yet. So kind of want to see what it all looks like before we start talking about Western Conference Finals and all that stuff. That's just me being realistic and also me being jaded because I've covered this team for too long.
It's going to look fantastic. I'm very
sure. Downer. Jesus.
It's going to look fantastic.
James been ruined by the Luke Walton years. You see this?
Wait a minute. How did Luke get another shot? Luke wasn't bothering nobody. Why didn't you say the Keith Smart years? Why didn't you say the Tyrone Corbin years? Keith. Why did Luke have to get
those are the same years. That's the problem.
Well, and none of those guys had years. It was all year.
Those Tyrone Corbin months, those Keith Smart months, boy, that really, really messed things up.
Wild.
I was going to ask you something. Oh, he talked about the process. He's talked about a couple of different times about the process of the Kings courting him, so to speak. And he kind of acknowledged, like, man, they really wanted me here in Sacramento and made me a priority to what their vision is. I know both of you guys are, like, really connected. Have you heard anything else about that, like, about, like, the pitch? Were they because I assume they're basically kind of telling him, like, we're good right now. We want to be great, and we think you can make us great. And that was the difference, one of the differences between the Kings and the Clippers or the Kings and the Sixers or something like that.
I totally agree. It had nothing to do with the amount the check is being signed. might have got a little. I think that this is a player who is looking for a perfect fit for him. I don't think that, like, out on the open market, there were a bunch of teams that were willing to go where the Kings went financially, whether it's like the amount of the contract or the length of the contract. And that's not to take anything away from DeMar DeRozan. He was a lot more impactful player than James Harden was last year. And James Harden got a 2-year, $70 million deal. It just happened to be the circumstance that he was in, being with the Bulls not being a great team, and him having, like, a very unique skill set that doesn't fit in with every team. So, like, again, I think DeRozan has every opportunity to be a franchise changing player for this team. And, you know, so I don't want it to come off like I'm not excited to see DeMar DeRozan play.
No, that's what it sounds like.
I am. I'm super
Jesse
excited.
Tweet, James Ham says DeMar sucks. That's why we didn't get his book. No,
James Ham .. says DeMar DeRozan .. sucks.
Young Zell. My dog James opened up his birthday gifts like, yeah, this is nice. I mean, last year's was better, but I'm hopeful this will do the job.
Never too high, never too low, never too, like, the only way to survive.
You and that damn Sean Cunningham.
Man, I'm telling you, the only way to survive writing 49 or more losing game recaps for 12 years, the only way to survive is just to not, like, ride the highs and lows. Like,
you've been through it. You've been through
it. Yeah, when things are good, things are really good, right? Like, but that was very few and far between. Mm. And we're in an era where things have really turned the right way and everything's very excited. But you still have to, like, they got to go play the games. They've got to go out there and prove that this was the move that put them over the top. And, like, again, while I think that him deciding to join the Kings is, like, a huge, huge deal, like, the Kings chased, they had multiple, like, I don't know, fires brewing here. They were trying to get a couple of deals done, and this is the one that worked out. And I think it's a good one. And I don't think they gave up as much as, like, some people on the East Coast believe they did with the pick swap in 2031. But
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the only other deal that was real was the Utah one. I mean, you could might be able to speak to that better than I could. I know that was part of all of this. I don't know what there was besides that. I feel like it was, we really want DeMar. We've got this deadline for Danny. Like, please know, we really want you on this squad. We've got to try to get this figured out. Danny doesn't even respond, and it's like, all right, let's go. Let's get this done. And that's why it went from, no one's quite sure if this is going anywhere, to, hey, the Kings and DeMar is pretty real. And then a day and a half later, he's on the floor of the Golden 1 Center.
I think that they were close to something on draft night that didn't, like, work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm pretty sure that the marketing thing, like, it doesn't matter how much the Kings were excited and all in on the marketing deal. Number one, they weren't all in because they weren't going to give up Keegan. And number two, they were dealing with a guy who was never going to trade the player.
Well, they were right.
And they, if they didn't know that, they should have known that he was never going to trade him. And even if he's going to trade him, like if he was going to trade him, he'll wait until after this season and trade him then, because that's kind of like the value. You rebuild the value with that contract. And so I would be surprised if this thing would have ever worked out at all. Like, I don't think Danny Ainge was going to trade him.
Oh, there's no question. Like, it's crystal clear now Danny Ainge wasn't going to trade him.
Well, but you know how I feel about that. I think Danny would have, sure, I'll trade
him. If someone did something
Me De'Aaron and Keegan, like, sure, the deal's good. But if those things, those parameters, those players aren't on the table, no, we're not doing it.
I'm going to hold out and see if someone does something stupid. Basically.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Kings were hoping that that Markkanen would leverage his way out of Utah, and or at least make it so Danny Ainge knew that, like, look, this is a losing proposition, but it didn't happen. And, like, I've never thought Danny Ainge was going to trade him. Danny Ainge has done this for so long, where it's all of his dirty laundry is out there, and then he just kind of, like, leaves it on hanging out there, and you're like, all right, man, you're going to clean up all your dirty laundry, because it's all over the place. Like, it just, that's the way he does business.
Yeah.
Well,
that's Danny Ainge.
I guess James isn't interested in reading DeMar's book.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no, I have it coming. It should be here tomorrow.
Great. Everybody does. Yeah. This is awesome.
It's good.
Like I said, I'll go to Barnes & Noble's. It's all good.
Well, just order it on Amazon. It'll be there by the time you get home.
I'm old school. Yeah. I like to go into Barnes.
Dude, where's Barnes & Noble?
It's on Arden.
It's still there?
Yeah.
There's one in Roseville, too.
Stop it.
Oh, there is. There is.
Where?
Right by. What's the chicken place, the new chicken place that everyone loves?
Cane's. Raising Cane's?
It's right there by Cane's. It's always been there.
I don't know where that is either.
It's Best Buy parking lot across from the mall.
Oh, okay. All right.
But on the front corner right before you get on 65. Yeah, it's still there.
Okay.
Hey, man. I already know this is going to be a moment.
Wait, what are you doing? Oh, no, what's it? Oh, really? Really? This dude drinks water for 2 weeks, and now he's leaving in the middle of a segment?
Wow. No,
hey, yo.
Your boy's had a hell of a day. This is your boy, by the way.
How is this my boy?
Because he came to the 1320 party with you. You're responsible for him.
Let me be clear.
That's the first.
This dude did nothing for the show today. And he was late for the handoff, and I had to do it. And I'm like, all right, whatever. It's fine. Like, I got it. We're a team. Then he comes in. He's throwing a fit about everything going.
Bro,
and
had
happening.
No clue what happened all this morning with anything.
He literally just James Hammed us and went to the bathroom.
And we're like here, too. We're not at Sky River at the bar. He's had a few beers. No, we're at the comfort of our studio.
This is absolutely
incredible.
Well, that was,
incredible. And in my defense.
No, that's what I'm saying, James. Yeah, there was a different circumstance.
That wasn't 17 minutes into a segment. That we had blown through two breaks at that point.
We did.
Because I was watching. I was like, when is the break coming? And you were like, nope. I'm like, okay, here's 23. I'm like, okay. We get to 28. I'm like, there's 28. I'm like, okay, I should be good. We get to 43. And I'm like, what is happening? No.
Poor James just wanted to go to the bathroom.
And, hey, I was in a casino, which all of us know you can't find a bathroom.
Yeah, that's not.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We all know exactly where Kenny's going. It's right out the door.
Yeah, it's tough. You can't exactly run there during a commercial break and expect to be back on time.
Our guy really got up in the middle of class and said, "I got to use the restroom."
He really did. He moved the microphone away. I'm like, what is he doing?
I was thinking the same thing. Like, is he going to? I thought he was about to throw a flag.
That's what I was. I was like, wait, what'd he say? I missed it. No, my man just ran out of here and went to the bathroom. Oh, this is good. Look, he knows this was a moment. Go ahead, chalk this down for show number 2000. this is good.
Look. Hey, I tried. I looked at that clock. I said, man, we got another 7 minutes. I had to go before Greg got in here. And I was like,
why didn't you go?
We didn't have time. And then this last time, I was letting you get up. I was like, oh, man, maybe I can make it past James. You see, I stood up for no reason.
You know you both like, can leave during a break, too.
I was like, maybe that'll help.
No, never like, stand
it
up.
It ain't going to help.
Come on.
It ain't going to help.
Yeah.
It would have been bad, bro. I had to do that. This is better
than the alternative. And now I think we lost your mic.
Dude, his mic just...
I swear to God, you just killed your mic.
Just went out.
For the love of God, your mic just went out.
Mic literally snapped.
You are having the worst day in history. And you are more... Jesus Christ. Go to commercial. I swear to God. Go to commercial. Well, all right. Took 3.5 hours, but we finally got to the Shannon Sharp news. So there it is.
We went wild going into the break. It just got wilder after
this. We've had a lot of stupid days in the history of this show, but man, this goes near the top.
I'm going to have to do a post-game press conference.
Kenny coming back from his break, though, and his mic instantly just cashing out.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
That was hilarious.
The whole day started with the D'Lo and Casey kittens, and it's managed to get weirder since then.
There's today's title, by the way.
I don't even know what happened there with the... I'm going to have to go back and look at that.
With the kittens? Or with
what? I don't know what's going on with the kittens.
Well, it's a lot. It's probably better if Katie tells the story because they talk a little differently on their show, believe it or not.
Well, they get it.
There are some things
they would have played that. They would have kept playing.
They would have played they would have played the Shannon Sharp audio on the wake up call. It's just not our bag. But yes, Katie had two little kittens named D'Lo and KC, and well, old KC didn't make it.
Oh no.
KC didn't make it. Yeah, he was he had some problems.
Well, some call it problems, some don't.
Well, so the funny thing was, and I can't remember who it was.
Some don't.
I can't remember if it was Scooter, someone in the Discord, when Dr. David posted, it was Spencer. Dr. David posted in the Discord, just listened to the D'Lo and KC kitten story. So the D'Lo kitten was lighter. The KC kitten... I'm not reading. I'm just not comfortable with that word. I'm just not comfortable with that word. But the KC kitten had a problem, and the host said they believe Kenny's is okay. And then Spencer replied, "I said earlier, the chair humping makes sense now."
Oh, come on.
James is drinking. This is great. This is exactly what we needed today.
It's only Wednesday.
James is drinking bourbon on a Wednesday. KC's running out peeing in the middle of the segment.
You know what? Let's just go look for Kim's snack key locker and just full circle.
So I text Kim and asked her I was like, "Where are you hiding the key?" She was like, "We're all out of stuff. I have to order more. There's nothing in there."
Bro, it didn't even last like a week and a half.
I told her that was going to happen.
We got 3 weeks.
Right? I think she's lying. I think there's stuff in that room, and she just won't tell me where the key is. And I think I just saw Stacy leave. So if I can, I'm gonna find that. I'm gonna find out where that key is.
You just go to the Fortress of Snackitude. It's all still in there.
Oh, I forgot we had that.
We do. Yeah, I checked it earlier too because I was like, "Hey, I need to go to reinforcements.
I put Ferrero Rochers in there.
I'll go back to being the only one to eat peanut butter. Just grab the Skippy jar out of there and eat it by the spoonful.
We're churching up the fortress of snackitude. So we've got Ferrero Rochers in there. We're going to add some new things.
James took Kim's Snack Shack as a personal insult.
Oh, it's a battle now. It was a battle once that happened. But RIP to little KC. Hey, man, you did your thing, dog.
Well, apparently he did.
He did all he could while he was here.
I want people to, like, if you haven't heard the clip, apparently this kitten was constantly erect.
Wow. Wow. How that?
What is happening?
Well, how did you want me to dance around that? That's what it was.
What is happening?
The cat died.
I hate to tell them this, but this isn't a story you should tell because chances are he got into something in your house that you shouldn't have had.
Well,
cat took a bad gas station pill. Oh,
snap.
From what we've been told, the cat died because it's a erection wouldn't go down.
And then the other thing is he wouldn't eat.
Well, all the blood had rushed from him. He wasn't thinking.
This is a cautionary tale. Jeez,
and man. So we lost KC.
Not me drinking on the air. That's seriously.
We lost KC.
Hey, man, he was trying everything he could, man. He's trying to live his life.
I was so confused by what she was telling me. I just did not understand.
Yeah, see, I thought it was the other way around. I thought it couldn't happen. But then they were like, no, it just always happened.
No, and that's why.
It's just always like
and
that.
How does that happen? The cat was like weeks old. Like she was bottle feeding the cat.
Came out the womb, ready for action. You know,
you got to hear.
You know, we get down.
You got to hear part two tomorrow. That's all I can say. You got to hear part two.
That's my cat right there, boy. I see you, big dog. No pun intended.
Well, this is great. No, Sean Cunningham is listening. This is awesome. This is exactly what we need. I forget there are people listening to this show sometimes. Sean, I'm sorry.
It's the joke of sad media now.
It's gone sideways.
My boy went out. He didn't go out sad. He went out like a soldier. That's what I'm talking about, little KC.
Well, he went out, though.
Hey, so when we go to the
How you want to go out?
He wasn't even smashing, though, like I asked. I was like, yo, is this cat, like, what is it doing? Is it just... Go ahead.
The best part is like when we go to the dinner table tonight with our families and stuff, we're going to tell them this is what we talked about today, huh? This is what we did at work.
Well, Reese going to ask, I'm going to ask Uncle D-Lo. Call him up.
All right. I'm embarrassed now because Sean's listening, so I'm done. I think I've been able to fool Sean into believing I was a professional all these years, and now he knows it's not.
Oh, man.
Kenny gets up in the middle of the segment and goes to the back. Actually, tough, man. There's three people on the screen right now, and only one of us hasn't gotten up to leave a segment.
I tried everything I could, man, and I was like, it's not going to happen. It's going to be real bad if I don't. and look, we know what happens when people push the limits around here on the radio. I don't want those.
Oh God!
I'm gonna go. That's what I'm gonna do.
Hammer, you want to touch on this email we just got? Is this is nothing of substance? No.
No, it doesn't really seem like that.
It's a Stockton Kings trade announcement. It doesn't look like it. Doesn't really have nothing to do with anything.
You know,
yeah, they traded Dane Goodwin for someone, right?
What I was going to ask you, because I wanted to make sure it wasn't my boy. You know who was prominent in that game number 14 that I was watching of the top 20 games of the Kings 2023-2024 season? Didn't play, but my boy Mason Jones was all over the place, man. He was doing his thing. He was hyping everybody up. Is there a chance he's on the big squad at all this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's on a two-way contract, so that means that he can be up with the main club for up to 50 games.
Is he in the Keon Ellis situation from last year?
Yeah, he's in the Keon Ellis situation completely. The Kings, just so people know, they acquired Jace Johnson, who is a 7-foot-tall center 27 years old out of Mission Viejo. So 3 years at Utah, a year at Marquette. I don't know what he looked like in the G League, but actually I can look that up, although Basketball Reference is always bad for G League. 6.3 points, 8.5 rebounds last year. So, and I think they received a second round pick.
Okay. In the G League draft.
In the G League draft. Okay. Yes. Not in the main draft. And earlier today they acquired Dexter Dennis. They're returning player rights for Dexter Dennis and Justin Powell for Jalen Noel. And what that means, just so people know, like, returning player rights basically means that if a player decides to return to the G League, then you have their rights. If they decide to go play for, I don't know, a team in Europe somewhere, then anytime they come back, you have the rights to them and you can actually, you know, sign them. It also means that you can sign them to camp deals, to Exhibit 10 contracts with some sort of guaranteed money, or just a regular NBA contract with some sort of guaranteed money, and then waive them. And now you can give them more money. Like, you basically can give them a roster bonus for an NBA team and make it so if they last 60 days in the G League, then they get that roster bonus.
Okay. Well, that's awfully nutty stuff.
Yeah, it's complicated. It totally killed the buzz from Lil Kenny.
It was Lil KC.
KC. Take care, big dog. Take care, man.
7:20 tomorrow on the Right Cup call. Hoops Hype was ranking the top 100 players in the NBA. They've been doing a lot of rankings this season. They had De'Aaron Fox at 24 with Paolo at 23, Zion at 22, Dame at 21. Then they had Domas at 20. And I thought that was interesting, Hammer, because we don't see Domas ranked above De'Aaron very often in this type of stuff. And Hoops Hype, while I do think De'Aaron is rated a little bit low, it was nice that they acknowledged that Domas is a hell of a ball player, and what he did last year was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he is. And what he did last year was completely amazing. I'd also point out that if you're looking at, like, all-stars, 24 players make the all-star team. So, like, realistically, De'Aaron Fox is an all-star level player, whatever metric you're using. You know, he didn't make All-NBA or the all-star team last year, but he should make those things this season, I would think. I think he'll take a leap. I also think that both Domantas and De'Aaron are doing the right things right now to make themselves more accessible to national and global audiences, whether it's the Netflix series for Sabonis or it's De'Aaron Fox, you know, touring China with Steph Curry. These are the things that actually impact these numbers. It shouldn't, because they both deserve to make all-star teams and All-NBA on their merits as players. But I do think that this will help both of these guys sort of build, you know, who they are and what they are. Just like I think, you know, a guy like DeMar DeRozan, I haven't read the book yet, but I'm assuming the book is going to, you know, like, present him in a good light. I think that's going to be another thing that helps him become, like, the next player, what he is going to be after he retires, whether that means Hall of Fame, whether it means, you know, speaking engagements or television, you know, sort of appearances and stuff like that. So all of this is good in my book. Anytime we're talking about basketball in early September, and these guys are relevant and part of the conversation, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it earlier. That video of De'Aaron Fox going to the hotel or whatever it is with Steph Curry and, like, the people in China, that they got their first glimpse of. They were there for Curry, but being able to see Fox too, I mean, that's what it's all about if you're De'Aaron Fox. That's why you link up with a guy like Steph Curry, because that's another level of anything he's probably experienced here in America when he was with Nike or anything else like that. It just elevates your profile, being around a guy like Steph Curry and getting, used the wrestling term, getting the Steph Curry rub from his fan base to now they're rocking with you because you're with him.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like we talked about this on the Insiders, me and Kyle earlier, and you know, like De'Aaron Fox was meticulous in choosing what brand he wanted to be part of, right? He literally brought in all of the shoes. He had shoes made from every company for him to try on and use. He was a sneaker free agent, and he chose to go to Under Armour, not just because of Steph, but because the shoe was right for him and it worked with his ankle braces and all this stuff. The fact that he is sort of, he's going to be the torchbearer for a major brand with a major superstar in front of it right now, I think is spectacular. I love the fact that De'Aaron Fox is getting his own shoe. It's totally deserved. Like we talk about this all the time where, mm-hmm. you know, he averaged more points per game than Anthony Edwards, more points per game than Steph Curry, more than so many of these players that are like considered superstar level players. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the reason why he doesn't get the same notoriety is because he plays in Sacramento. And because, you know, one year he gets 22 appearances on national TV, and another year he's back down to 12. And the year before that, he was at 3 or 2, whatever it was. Like, these are things that actually matter for him to actually grow his brand and be part of sort of the global basketball community. So good stuff.
It grows his brand, but I feel like it also grows his level of stardom in even, you know, not just in the NBA, but outside the NBA. Like this, Kenny and I kind of had this conversation earlier, being sneaker guys, so to speak. Like, this stuff is, it's huge. Like, sneakers, sneaker culture, De'Aaron now being a big part of it, being the first Steph Curry athlete, so to speak, in that brand. Like, this is, it feels like it's a massive win on so many levels. James, we talked when we reported on De'Aaron in Clutch, and I remember De'Aaron told you he's leveling up a little bit, like getting with Clutch, you know, the perks of being with Clutch, the benefits of being with a massive agency like that. This is one of them. The, you know, negotiating something with Steph Curry and Under Armour, and you see these two, meaning Steph and De'Aaron, beginning to maximize this to a higher level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is tremendous. You know, again, when you go to an agency like Clutch, is with the hope that you're going to have an opportunity to be seen like this. You know, we have a friend, Andrew Rogers, who came here with DeMarcus Cousins, right? Everyone knows DeMarcus's guy, right? Mainly because I think he got thrown out of a game one time. Well, who would it?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. Someone went into the stands and then he grabbed a hold of him. And like, you don't remember Andrew getting thrown out of a game. Anyways, Andrew's he's a great dude, but he's been doing, he's been taking DeMarcus to different spots overseas, whether it's Taiwan or it's Japan or it's China. And like the reception that they get is just bonkers. So I know that they just had like a group of, I think it was Rondo and Blake Griffin and DeMarcus, and they're like beyond superstars when they walk into the country. And I think it's cool for De'Aaron to feel this. I do. I think this is like a moment where this is what how he should be embraced. And I know he's embraced the right way in Sacramento, but in the global basketball community, this is how De'Aaron should be embraced. Mm-hmm. And I hope that like he gets something out of this adventure.
Yeah. I mean, it seems, I just keep going back to that, just that little clip that I saw of him trying to walk through the crowd and security. Just the look was like, man, it's crazy. And this is wild, you know, hadn't experienced it. But that was a great point that you made, though, James, about De'Aaron getting linked up with Steph Curry, Domantas Sabonis doing the Netflix show. And then you got DeMar DeRozan, like we talked about earlier, you know, making the rounds. He's got a book and he's doing these different interviews and things of that nature. And it's been a pretty good summer for the Kings as far as a PR, getting your brand, getting the Kings brand out there, with everybody kind of just being in some type of limelight, it feels like.
No, it's a good thing. This is what you want for your players. I mean, you want them to have the notoriety. Like, look, when All-Star balloting comes around, like it's possible that this gives De'Aaron like a big bump in you know, in all-star balloting.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Mm-hmm. Like this is a good thing for him to be out there. And he shies away from this a little bit. It's not really his jam. He's a homebody. He likes to be here in Sacramento. He likes to be chilling or in Santa Barbara, wherever it is. You know, he is kind of like a quiet, introverted dude. But these things are realistically, it's part of the game. And, you know, I brought this up with Kyle earlier. It's kind of like everyone saw Jerry Maguire years ago. It's kind of like the Rod Tidwell moment, right? Sometimes you got to get up and dance. Sometimes you got to make it do something that's uncomfortable for you in order to get that, you know, the fame and fortune that you deserve. And I know that De'Aaron's tried to, like, he's been very clear throughout his career. Like, look, if we win, I'll get the accolades. I'll like all of that stuff will happen when we win. And then they won one time and he got all the accolades and then they weren't as successful. They lost two more games. And all of it went away like super quick. And it shouldn't be fleeting with De'Aaron Fox. He's too good of a player to get ignored by things like, you know, all-star voting and all of the other things, even all NBA. He's just too good of a player. You know, how do you just like not acknowledge a guy who averaged, what, 26.4 or 26.2 points, led the league in steals, and you just ignore him for all of your postseason accolades? And it's kind of the world that he lives in because he's in Sacramento and because he doesn't seek this type of like spotlight throughout his career.
For him to be kind of shut out of everything last year with those numbers, top 10 in scoring, like you said, led the league in steals, that's kind of ridiculous.
Hmm.
Like to be shut out, not saying he should be first team or anything else like that, but he didn't make an all-star team, didn't make any all-NBAs, didn't make any all-defense, nothing. That's just kind of crazy. And when you kind of think about it. Can't get nothing?
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, like, look, it's tough because there are a lot of good guards in the NBA. But I'll just keep circling back to the All-Star game. Like, when the All-Star game happened, like 18 of the top 19 scorers in the league were in the All-Star game. And De'Aaron Fox was number 8 in the league. He's the one guy out of the top 19 scorers. And he was like either 8 or 9 at the time of the All-Star game. And he's the only one that gets singled out. And it's not like the Kings were having a horrible season. They just weren't a top 3 seed. And if the criteria for De'Aaron Fox or Domantas Sabonis to get All-Star or, you know, like sort of the accolades that come with that is that not only do they have to be great, but they have to be a top 3 seed. Like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. That's not fair. That's not fair to anybody. You know, these guys do the work. They've propelled their team to something that hadn't happened in 16 years. Like, they're very, very good NBA players. I'm not putting them in superstar category, but they are definitely stars, and they're on the cusp of that. And I hope that that De'Aaron Fox isn't a one-time All-Star, because he's a much better player than that, and his stats say that every single season.
Well, listening to you both lay out, you know, this off season, how good it is for everybody, him being shut out last year, it speaks to like maybe everything is a little amplified, you know, with the shoe and Steph, and then you got the acquisition of DeMar, the book, then you got Domas, and you got this Netflix series. Feels like maybe even more so than last year, there's going to be a huge importance put on winning. Mm. And if the Kings fall short this year, again, De'Aaron's going to get the brunt of that.
Yeah. Well, he's going to get the brunt of that, and he's going to be on the final year of his contract. And that's, you know, that's not where anyone wants to be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we just saw the contract that Jamal Murray got. Jamal Murray can take that contract because Jamal Murray knows he's not getting All-NBA.
Hmm.
I mean, the dude isn't an All-Star, let alone an All-NBA player. Is he great in the playoffs? Sure. But didn't De'Aaron Fox score like 38 points in his first playoff game?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, look, the fact that De'Aaron hasn't had the opportunity to play multiple playoff series, it hurts him for sure. But you see how much money is there for a player like him. And he's got a lot riding on this season. You know, if he doesn't want to take the extension right now, which I guarantee you the Kings have said, hey, look, if you want to talk extension, we'll give the extension right now. They offered it to him last summer. I'm sure they've offered it to him this summer. It's a giant blank check. But when you go from like the level that he's at right now to all NBA level, if he can hit all NBA, he's eligible for 35% of the salary cap. Mm. And that's when it goes up to like, what's it at 142 this year, 155 next year, whatever it is. Like that's just, and it wouldn't even kick in until the year after. So you're looking at, you know, he'd sign a 5-year deal, put him under contract for 6 years, but that first year would be astronomical. And so for a player like him, you know, it makes sense for him to go for it this year. But I think he knows the pathway isn't just to put up the points and the steals and the rebounds and the assists and to get better as a 3-point shooter. It is, if you don't win, if this team doesn't put up, say, 50 wins a season, he's still going to have a tough time reaching those standards that are required in order to get an All-NBA nod. And that's tough.
And that's kind of the nature of the beast, too. You know, that goes back to what he talks about, too. Like, if we win, everything will take care of itself. And mm-hmm. and as much as last year wasn't like a quote-unquote failure or anything, they didn't win. They didn't get to the playoffs, you know. And that's going to be the goal this year. I think they'll clear that pretty convincingly, you know, be a top four team. But, you know, even if they're not, you got to find a way to get back into that postseason.
Yeah, I don't want to hear what could have been, what should have been, all that stuff. This is a year where it has to be, where you've got to go out there and make it a no doubt season, right? Mm-hmm. There are teams out there, like a team like Denver, they can coast to 54 wins. Like maybe they can't this year, but they probably can. Even like a team like Boston, they can coast to 58 wins. They don't need to go push for 65 or whatever. The Kings have to prove that they have to win every game that they can. Mm-hmm. And that means like they need to win 50. They might need to win more than that for these guys to get the proper due that they deserve as players.
Casey said 52.
52 is the floor. You heard it here first.
Is the ceiling the floor still?
Ceiling's the roof.
Ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof, yeah. Right?
That's from the great Michael Jordan.
That's
Michael,
right.
Michael Jeffrey. LeBron James ceiling doesn't have a quote like the ceiling is the roof.
Well, he might after this Netflix series.
Oh, he might.
LeBron probably going to be hilarious in that Netflix series.
Yeah.
LeBron going to be funny.
Yeah. Bron Tatum, Domas, Ant-Man, I'm missing one.
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler. Yeah, this will be interesting. What's Jimmy's thing again? Coffee? Yeah. Right?
Ladies?
Well, that's not what I meant, James. I meant, doesn't he have like coffee shops?
He does
or, like,
have
a coffee.
I thought he had a coffee. Like, I thought he had coffee.
He had a coffee brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then one's LeBron. Ant-Man's. Yeah. This will be fun. Domas is going to be the most. Yeah. What is it? Like, what? I'm dying to see it.
I want to see if he has the winery going, but I also think Domas will come across as completely 100% genuine and a super incredible family guy. That's how I think he'll come across. A great teammate, great family guy. And then, you know, outside of that, we'll see what else they're kind of pitching here.
His parents were here last year, right? Or was that the year mm-hmm. before?
Yeah.
No, they come out every year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. His dad's come out every year. His dad and his mom.
The biggest human come out being ever.
Yeah. Oh no. He's like, that is one gigantic dude. Like, he makes Domas look like a normal sized human being. Which is crazy.
Jesse is demanding this train wreck of a show come to a
conclusion. No!
My sincerest apologies to Sean Cunningham, if you're still listening, sir. I apologize.
Little KC.
Little KC. We're riding with you. If you guys tap in to the wake-up call tomorrow at 7:20, make sure you text them at 909-1065 and mm-hmm. let them know you're with the Chatty House. And we'll run it back. We're going to relive this. Next on Sacramento Sports Leader, we'll see you at 10 a.m. with the Insiders tomorrow on ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Lil' KC!
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.